How's everybody doing?
Good.
Wonderful. Praise God. Well, now that my wife is not here, I can now I can give you the spoiler alert. So we have some friends who have a retreat center in Foster, and so they're letting us have the whole reign of the whole place for our anniversary. So we're going down tonight after service. So I went down today and decorated, and it's all, she has no idea what we're doing. So after we practiced this morning, I went down and did all that and then came back and got ready for church. So it's in Foster, so it's not too far, but it was a hike. Foster. It's about 20 minutes south of Eau Claire, if that. So it's a beautiful place. It's big, it's open, it's got a huge backyard, fire pit, nice place. So she's home getting ready. She's panicking because she's got to leave town. If you know my wife, she doesn't like change and doesn't like trying new things. So she's frustrated because I won't tell her what we're doing. But she has no idea, no. So nobody give her any giveaways. So don't text her. No. She knows we're leaving somewhere. She just doesn't know where. So 25 years tomorrow. So. Wow. And it's all by God's grace, because it's not. So I've been threatening I was going to talk about tithing. So the night is here. You know, God is interested in your money, believe it or not. Not because he needs your money, because he doesn't, but because you need your money. So since you're important to God, your money is important to God. God is interested. So immediately I know some of you are like, oh, he's going to talk about money. Don't talk about money. Talk about something spiritual. That kind of statement shows lack of biblical knowledge, and a lack of spiritual insight. For nothing is more spiritual than where our heart is. We know the scripture, Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where's our treasure? Usually in our wallet, right? So, Aaron Rodgers said, a faith that hasn't reached your wallet probably hasn't reached your heart.
Adrian.
It was a Rodgers. Thanks, Dan. So money is something that we use every day on it. And so how can Jesus be Lord and not be Lord over our money? So I want you to think about that question as we go through tonight. How can Jesus be Lord and not be Lord over your money? How can he care about us and not care about that which is so intrinsically tied to our very survival? It's so important. So before I go any further, donated, because we're doing fine. God supplies. So if you don't want to provide this message because we're broke, we're not rich, but we're not broke. All the bills are paid. So we're going to get shut off. God answers prayer and money comes in. So I don't want you, this is not a... I want you to look at this as an opportunity to grow spiritually. And so, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. My response to that is if evil is this world, then that means there's nothing more spiritual that we can talk about today than money, than our attitude and our attitude towards money. Ecclesiastes almost has a worldview of money. It says money is the answer for everything. That's scripture. Wow. Surprising, right? But if that's true, if you're uncomfortable because I'm talking the preaching of Jesus, because when he walked the earth, he gave 36 parables, 16 of them had to do with our attitude towards money. There are 500 verses about faith. There's 500 verses referring to prayer about money. So that should tell us how important money is to God. Remember the story of widow's mite. The Pharisees were giving their large offerings, and they were very open about it. And this little lady gave her two mites. And the whole story of money, then why would he include a story like that in his word? Then there's a scripture that we talked about not too long ago about the unjust steward in Luke 16. And at the end of the story, Jesus said, if you've not been faithful with your money, who do you expect to commit... to you the riches. I'm sorry, who do you expect to commit to you true riches? So if God's not interested in our money, then why would ruler? He came to Jesus and asked what he had to do to be a follower, and Jesus said, sell everything you have. He didn't own his possessions, they owned him. And so the whole story has to do with their attitude in the Bible. I'll tell you who else is interested in your money, and that's the biggest way that he can do that is to affect your attitude towards money in a negative way. You ever use flypaper? You know what flypaper is? Young people probably don't know what flypaper is. I remember my mom had, as it comes from the ceiling, it would look like it was Christmas in summer. But flypaper has a surface on it that's sweet, and it's got a honey-like substance, but it's also very sticky. And so it's a simple principle. The fly approaches and saying, I want honey, I want the honey, I want the honey. And he tries to leave the flypaper, and he says, I can't, I got to fly, I got to fly, I got to fly. So many people today running around and saying, I want more money, I want more money, I want more money. And before you know it, their money's got down. And so yes, God is interested in your money, and so is Satan. One more person that's interested in your money, and hopefully that's you. We're all interested in our money. Some churches these days hold their people accountable to tithe. They even require them, and they call them if they get behind on tithing. I don't agree with that method. You know, studies done in field that some startling statistics that 3 to 7% of people are giving in a church. That's not tithe. You know, the word tithe literally means 10%. It's God's perfect plan. It's the wisdom of God planned for us a method of which is completely fair and equal to all who obey, and no matter how much money you make. And so the wisdom that God has is it doesn't matter if you make $10 a month. Right? And so, you know, I'm not checking those of you and making sure that you're walking in obedience, but I'm just going to tell you what the Word says. And you know, I don't get paid for what I do. The less I get paid, because double of zero is still zero. I do it for the joy of doing. Tithing is not self-serving. I don't gain anything from giving this message. Give it to God, we return it to Him, because it all belongs to Him anyway. There are three groups of people in this room right now. The first group says that their money is all mine. I worked for it, I earned it, I deserve it. I want to, but I don't have to. If I feel led to give a dollar, I'll give a dollar. If I feel led to put 20, I might put 10. But I'll do with it what I want to. Then there's a second group of people in this room, and they believe that the tithe belongs to God, 10%, and with the rest, I'll do what I want with it. And then there's a third group who believes it all belongs to God, the tithe and the 90%. And I return to what is Him, and He entrusts me with the remaining 90%. So just because I return the tithe doesn't give me the right to do whatever I want with the rest. To pray about every expenditure. I still have to pray about my lifestyle. I still have to be a good steward of all His money, because it all belongs to Him. Everything on this earth belongs to Him. None of it belongs to us. And we'll all be judged someday what we do with our money, and how we spend our money, and how we don't spend our money. So there's radical difference in the owner I share with God, right? The first shares with God only when they want to. The second money anyway, and He shares with them. So He shares 90% of it with us. Isn't He 100%? So now that we understand we're to return a tithe, what is a tithe? It's a portion. It's a 10%. Like we said, it's a simple calculation. It's simply moving the decimal point. We're going to do some math tonight. So a tithe on $100, a tithe on $1,000 is what? $100. A tithe on $482 is? Perfect. You guys are math majors. So, you know, since the beginning of time, tithing has been God's method. And giving to God the first 10%. And then you have the people say that's all Old Testament. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first of all, God put it on the heart of people before even the law was given. It says, after Abram returned from defeating and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came to meet him in the valley of Sheva. That is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. and praise be to God Most High of everything. So this is even before the law was written into Scripture. Abram already was giving 10%. They took all the spoils of war, all their income, gave it to the priest for the continuation of God's work. So Abraham tithed. This is Abraham speaking later on. Will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Then Moses came along in Leviticus 27. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the tree, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Every tithe of the heart will be holy to the Lord. A few hundred years later, Malachi confirms, the Lord of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says he. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offering. You're under your house, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, room enough to store it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. Vines from your in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord. Many years later, Jesus commended tithing in Matthew 23. Woe to you, teachers of the laws and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the later without neglecting the first. But you also should have done the other things. So tithing is a basic foundation. There's so much more. Tithing is not an excuse for unholy living. You can't buy off God. You can't go out tonight and party and then tomorrow go to church and tithe and say, I'm paying off God for forgiveness. That's not how it works. But notice he does commend them for being obedient in the tithe. So in summary, we're going to break this down. But Abraham commenced tithe and Jesus commended it. So who are we to cancel it? We don't have the right to cancel it. His people to do his work. And yes, the water, I'm going to skip about the money here. And so for those people that we mentioned in Scripture, it wasn't just a duty to tithe, it was a delight. Right. 2 Corinthians, this is a scripture that we put up every week when we put our offering up. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves tithe if you love Jesus, instead of honk if you love Jesus. Any foot can honk. Any fool can honk. So think about these radical Muslims who are willing to give everything to their cause. Mm-hmm. They give everything they own.
That's right.
Everything they are for the sake of evil. Yeah. And it breaks my heart to see some of God's people moan and groan to give the first ten. There's a definite proportion. There's a designated place to bring your tithe, your church, Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole storehouse in reference in the Old Testament is temple. So they're using the word storehouse and temple as the same word. Because part of the temple, back in the Old Testament days, it was all agriculture. There weren't cities like we have today. And so when they harvested, they brought the first tenth of their wheat and their corn right to church with them. And everyone then brought it to church with them, and they brought it to the storehouse. It was used to feed the priests. It was used for animal sacrifices. It was a medium of exchange to continue the work of God. And so the tithe was brought to the place where the people worshipped. And so today, a side deal with God. Or that he told them to put their tithe somewhere else. People are trying to rationalize not paying their tithes. He tells us in this passage to bring it to the church. You know, many of you come here throughout the week. Some of you have received help. Some of you have received things to help you grow spiritually. Together on Fridays and Saturdays, we haven't been getting together on Fridays. We used to get together on Fridays. We're going to start, by the way, soon, getting together on Fridays with God's people to study. And so we ought to bring God's tithe with us. Many of you are fed the needs of this ministry, whether you tithe or not, because he's proven that. There's tithe. I have no idea where it's going to come from, and I finally have to give up trying to figure it out, and then God brings it in. Usually it's me that gets in the way. It's not you, it's me, because I'm trying to figure it out. Already has it figured out. And then I go home and I say, okay, God, it's your ministry. Whatever you want to do, you do it. And then some of you remember a couple of years, we needed $3,000 desperately. Part of it was utilities, part of it was rent. And I did everything. I tried fundraising. I tried that for weeks. And I just got stressed out. And I went home and I said, God, it's your ministry. If you want it to be open, you'll provide. And within about a half hour, three people, and there was $3,000 in cash, dropped off within about a half hour. God, it's your ministry. You figure it out. He showed me that he could figure it out. So my needs don't change by one dime if you start tithing. I don't take any money home here. But if you just do decide, expect a great blessing. Malachi says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Can you imagine what that feels like? God's waiting to chase you down the street, jump on your back with blessings. He's saying, test you. This is the only place in Scripture where God tells us to test him. Normally, we tempt God, but in this case, he says it's an unconditional promise. He tells us to put me to... Ever hear someone say, I can't afford to tithe? That's not a viable statement.
You can't afford not to tithe.
I just lost my whole screen because I was playing around. It's not really a viable statement. Don't ever get caught saying that, by the way. That you're tithing, that means you're tithing last instead of first. Backwards. Proverbs 3:9 tells us, honor the Lord with your wealth. Budget and says, I'm going to deal with all these obligations, and then, if I can afford it, I'm going to tithe. Ways to spend your money. When we think we'll give God the leftovers, God, your leftovers. We sometimes won't even give our animals our leftovers. You know, we're disobeying Scripture. Normally, we don't have leftovers to give. Tithing is not a debt that you owe. It's a seed that you sow. And so, in Malachi, try this. Test me. See if I won't open the windows of heaven. See if I'm going to make the other 90% stretch further than the other 100% could ever stretch. Further in verse 11, and let's look at it, he says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your fields will drop, will not. So these agriculture people in the Old Testament had enemies to the crops. They had flood. God said, put me first and I'll rebuke all these enemies of your finances. Now, most of us here aren't farmers. I don't think there's any. But we do have enemies to our finances. They're called hospital bills, car repairs, tuition, unexpected. But my God makes my shoes last longer, and he makes my roof stronger. How will you fare with 90% as God is your partner? Think about how you're doing with the 100%. Is your plan working? Then others will say, well, if God really blesses me, then I'll tithe. And that's putting the cart before the horse. I'm not trying to put you in a straitjacket tonight. I'm trying to set you free.
Awesome.
And you can talk about all the financial freedom you want, but as a believer, you'll never be free until you obey this principle, tithing. No Christian can skip over this step. When you tithe, there's always a blessing. And when you don't, there's always a curse. The curse, yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. So there's a definite, I don't even know where I was. There's a definite proportion, right? 10%. There's a definite place. There's the local church is what we talked about. And there's also a divine purpose. There we go. A divine purpose in tithing. You know, in Africa, there's a certain monkey that's considered a delicacy to eat. Anybody hungry? They have this proven method for capturing these monkeys. They build a little box, and they put a hole in the side of the box, and they fill it with nuts and fruit. And the hole's just big enough so the monkey can squeeze his paw in. And he grabs a hold of the nuts and the fruit. And he's so hungry and selfish that now he can't pull his fist out of that box anymore. And he will not let go of that bowers and get killed, then drop the food. That's how stuck to him. And he still won't drop the food, and they just hit him on the head. That's how they hunt their monkeys. So there's undoubtedly people commit financial suicide because they won't let go of the tithe. You're too busy holding. Your car's falling apart. Your house is falling apart. and you won't let go of it. And you know, when we look at obeying Scripture, you may say, "Well, I go to church every week and I do all of these things, you know, but I'm sick all the time, or you know, my car is always broke down, and I'm depressed, and etc." And he'll start wreaking havoc in other areas of your life. I always tell people to look at their heart. The other day, didn't we? Look at your heart as a fenced-in yard. Maybe it was you I talked to about this. And so when you're sinning, you open the gate, and Satan comes tromping in your yard like a bull, and he poops all over the place. Yeah. And he puts, you can do is get him out of your yard as quickly as possible so you can fix it. The longer you let Satan cover from the damage. I know people that tithe faithfully. They tithe faithfully. But they may be, I know he should bless my finances because I'm tithing faithfully. But they're opening the fence to their heart, and they're letting the devil tromp around in there and make a mess of their heart. And so sometimes when we go back to our Beatitude series that we talked about, you get that, you do this and you get this. And sin isn't in this way, this consequence may not occur. When we let Satan tromp around in our heart's in some other area. So you may not be tithing tonight, and you may say, my finances are fine, I'm okay of your life. And that's because you're not obeying Scripture, and you're letting Satan tromp around in your heart. Or you may be tithing tonight, and you can't figure out why your money is a mess. That may be because you're sinning somewhere else in life, and you're letting Satan tromp. So don't be like the monkey, and hang on to that 10%. The first thing that I do when I get paid, when I get my income, as I pay my tithe. I don't look at any other bills. At first, no, before I even pay my house payment, I get right online, I can pay online here, I give some of my tithe here and some of it to the other church I work at, and that's the first thing I do. It's the first, I don't even look at bills, 10% out. And when I was working, I had a very good job, I had a very well-paying job, and not pridefully saying, but I was making $120,000 a year. And when I quit working and got sick and started doing ministry, I'll tell you, I don't make a fourth of that. We don't bring a fourth of that into our house. But you know what? We live in the same house I did when I made $120,000 a year. Our cars are paid for. They weren't paid for when we made $120,000 a year. We have no credit card debt. But with God, sometimes things don't make sense because His ways aren't our ways. Both my wife and I, we tithe. God has blessed us. He lets things... The car that she drives, we put tires and change oil. No, I'm like, you know. But that just shows that God makes things last longer when we obey His word. And it's not just tithing, it's every part of your life. So I don't want you to look at tonight again as this is a condemning message, but I want you to look of your life. You know, if you tell God He's in charge of your finances, then you have to return the tithe. It's a trust fund, right? You're trusting God with that money. You do it by faith, just like you do you still do things by faith. You don't understand what it means. And it may not make sense. Well, if I'm $10,000 or $5,000 a month and I have to give up $500, that's less money for me, so it just doesn't make sense. Why would I do that? But God's ways aren't our ways. It's a trust fund. God gave everything for you. He gave His life thing to Him. So... there's my buying yearly, every couple of years. I want you guys to not miss out on blessings, because you are missing out on blessings if you're not tithing. And I don't care if you tithe here, if you're tithing at another church that you go to. Again, it doesn't matter to me. What I wanted to do is I want to make, my job is to share the word with you, to tell you what the word says so that you have blessings all over you. Awesome. And that's our goal. Amen? Yeah. All right, so let's pray. Lord God, figure it out. Lord, it's unbelievable sometimes when we read Scripture, even and Lord, it may not make sense to us, but You had it all figured out from the beginning of time. And Lord, You know I walked into this building. And so everyone here tonight may need to hear this message one way or another. They may just need confirmation that their tithing is, that they're doing the right thing. Maybe they're not tithing and they just need the extra nudge. Maybe they just need that extra bit of faith. So I ask You tonight, just with tithing, Lord, just make that a concrete thing in our heart. Make us know that's of Your word, out of Your word, it's Your will for us to do. And Lord, let us learn to manage our money in a way that You've loaned it to us. It doesn't belong to us. You give us everything. You created the heavens and the earth with Your words. So Lord, without your creation, without created, there wouldn't be money. We wouldn't be sitting here today. And so Lord, as always, we just thank you for giving your Son, Lord, free, so that we can experience salvation, that we can experience a taste of heaven here on earth, and that we can have the security of knowing that we're going to live ever, forever with you. And Lord, if there's other areas of our lives tonight that may be just out of tune, I just pray that you'll touch each heart here and you'll bring that to our attention. Lord, because you want to hope on idols in our heart. You don't want us living and putting other things before you. So help us put all air and give you time in prayer each day. Give you time in worship each day. Give you time in thought each day. It gives us the joy that you give. And Lord, that's what people see in us when they see those crazy flow on those around us. So we just thank you, Jesus. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.